go today, to be quite honest. It could go off in any direction or all directions. And one thing I can tell you for sure, it's not going to be a polished seven-point sermon with clear points to make. It's more to do with my ramblings, really. And I've really been interested in this subject for about 18 months that I've been doing research on, and I thought I would just share with you this morning. If I can remember the quote to put in here, that would be even a good start. That's wrong. Do you know, when you're full of the Spirit, your mind's just all over the place, isn't it? Have we got a slide up?
Yes.
Great. Brilliant, Acts 2, wonderful. Okay, find my Bible, it'll be even better, here we go. So, what I want you to do is just close your eyes. Before I do this, let me just read to you a passage from Acts 1:8. We've been talking about this morning. In fact, we've just been singing about it. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen. Okay. I want you just to close your eyes, if you will, all right, while I read this passage of Scripture out to you. I want you to just close your eyes and just be oblivious to any noises that's going on around you. Be oblivious to Caroline's coughing. All right. And I'll have my water because... Caroline, do you want some water? Well, you've got some. I hope you've got some honey in there. Good. All right. Okay. I'm just going to read this little passage out. Just close your eyes. Just let these words sink into you. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And of course, what they heard was that they were speaking and describing the wonderful works of God. Okay, did anybody get a picture? Anybody get a picture when we were reading this? Anybody at all? Any picture come into your mind? Clouds. Okay. When I was doing this, this is the picture that came into my mind. Now then, there's supposed to be sound coming out of here, and we had this little problem before we started. I pray that it wouldn't happen again, but it is. Joe, can you do your little good trick there that you did before? Yeah. Anyway, that's the picture that I got. I know my mind works in strange ways, but this passage of Scripture that I'm going to talk about this morning, this is a passage of Scripture that both you and I have heard preached dozens and dozens and dozens of times. What I want to try and do today is to come in from a totally different angle. I want to try and blow your minds a little bit, all right, and really throw this wide, wide open. And because the reason I'm going to be doing this is because there are certain passages of Scripture in the Bible which I read and I believe, but I still look, of course I believe them, but I can't understand them. And the reason for this is because the laws of God, of creation, are only just really being unearthed by the scientists. So as science is progressing and discovering things and calling them their own laws, like the laws of physics, it's not the laws of physics at all, it's the laws of God which physicists have actually unearthed. And so what I want to look at this morning is I want to try to look at, marry the science with the Word, and then look at two or three examples of this in the Word. And so I want to park the bus at the moment. I don't want to talk any more about that passage. We'll come back to it. And the title of this morning's talk is When Science Meets God. Okay? And if this thing will work again. To do that, when I get past there, we need to look at three things for us to try to get a grip on this. Now, the very word, mention of the word science, just makes me feel, Look, I'm not a scientist. I used to be 60 years ago, but now I couldn't even do algebra. All right, so I'm going to keep this as simple as I possibly can. But we need to understand what the law of entrainment is, and we need to understand what the law of vibration is, and we need to understand the law of attraction before we can then start understanding some of the scriptures that we're going to look at. Is that okay? Yeah. We do that? So we're going to look, first of all, at the law of entrainment. The simple definition of the law of entrainment is that when two or more oscillating or vibrating objects of different rhythms come together, they'll synchronize eventually into the dominant frequency. So let's look at the next slide. This is a perfect example of entrainment. It wasn't until 1645 when I think it was a Swiss scientist was working on pendulum clocks, and he set them going and went to bed, and when he came back the next morning, all the pendulums were swinging in synchronization. They'd all come into entrainment with each other. Bit like watching paint dry, isn't it, really? Look up, look out for the bottom right-hand corner, the second one up. It takes 3 minutes for that little fella at the end to fully get into synchronization and to get entrained with the others. But eventually, because of the energy which is being created by the others, it comes eventually into entrainment. So that is the classical example of entrainment. Now, you can do this with 64 metronomes, you can do it with 128 metronomes, and they will all eventually come into entrainment. And you might think, well, what does that matter, really? And I can't get this off. There we go. All right. In practice, what does this mean? Why is it important about things coming into entrainment? Practical examples. Birds. Have you ever noticed flocks of birds as they're coming together, as they're getting ready for emigrating? They all are in harmony with each other. They're all in synchronization with each other. They're all flying together. They're all in entrainment with each other. And not only that, but the wings are in entrainment as well, just like these metronomes here. Fish, school of fish, is just exactly the same. When a school of fish is going, they're all in entrainment with each other. So they're in synchronization, they're in harmony. And the same applies really with fireflies. I don't know whether you've ever seen pictures of fireflies in America. When you get swarms of fireflies on the trees and on the branches, when it's dark, of course, they all start eventually flashing together. Didn't start off that way, but they come into entrainment with each other and start flashing synchronously together. And the same happens with mosquitoes. When mosquitoes are coming in and they're hovering, then all the wings are in entrainment with each other. So they're all flapping at a precisely the same moment, just like the metronome. Now, in humans, there are so many different examples. The most obvious, of course, is when we're singing. When musicians are playing, our feet are going. All right? So our feet are going, and then everybody's foot is going together. Everybody is in harmony, everybody's in unison. We're entraining together. Two people in rocking chairs, eventually they'll start rocking together. All right? This is a great law of entrainment and applies right throughout creation. If you start walking down the street with a friend, very soon you're walking in step. It's very hard to walk out of step with somebody. It's easier to walk in step. You entrain with them, so you're in step with them. If you're feeling really sad and down, and they've got all sorts of problems in mind, and you walk into a room where everybody's happy, and there's balloons, and they're pulling crackers, and they're singing, and everybody's jovial, you know, that's the last place that you want to be. Sometimes the church is a bit like that. You come in, and you've got all the problems of it. You come in, and you've got all these happy Christians giving it welly, and that's the last thing that you want to be. But within about 5 minutes, you're doing the same, all right? You come into entrainment with them. And the same happens when you're feeling happy and you come into a miserable room where everybody's miserable, nobody, and your joy soon dissipates and you come into entrainment with them and you're feeling just the same as what they were feeling. And it's well known that when groups of women work closely together or they live together, then their period cycles come into entrainment as well. Yeah? So that everybody eventually, they will all start their periods and finish periods at near enough the same time as your body is coming into entrainment. Okay? If we take this a little step further, and you get somebody who's really having a bad time, they maybe had an argument and their blood pressure's raised and they're upset and their emotions are all over the place. Just by holding their hand, they start entraining with you. Just like the metronomes. If you think, imagine two metronomes going, all right? Then what happens is when you hold somebody's hand, the blood pressure reduces, your heart rate goes down, your hormones start balancing out a bit. Your breathing becomes a little bit better. That's just by holding the hand. You know, so entrainment is a very, very important thing in healing. Healing, just by entraining with somebody, you are changing them, or they're being changed according to your oscillations or vibrations, and they come into harmony with you. Now, I firmly believe, and I won't deviate from this, I believe that the healing that has taken place in Janet is because every second that there's somebody in that room, her hand is being held. When Christians go and visit her, they're holding her, they're touching her, they're putting hands on people. Have you ever wondered, you know, it's been plaguing me for years, what actually happens when you put hands on somebody? What happens? What goes on? Why does somebody get better? The law of entrainment comes into place, that your body starts changing according to what's happening with other people. Are you getting it so far?
Yes, Russell.
Who said yes, Russell? Thank you. All right. Well, look, if you think it's good, let's have a round of applause. Come on. Let's start clapping. Come on. Is that all? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now then. Okay. Now, that was a little experiment. You all entrained with each other, and you all start clapping together. It wasn't out of phase with each other. You came into entrainment with each other. And this happens right through life, right through creation. We come into entrainment. All right? There's so many more examples, but let's have a look at a couple of Bible examples of this. Okay. We did 1 and 2 Kings a little while ago as a house group. And this is the time when Elisha, the Shunammite woman whose boy, who Elisha said that she would have because she was barren, he died. And she went out into the country to find Elisha and bring him back to the house. And when Elisha got to the house, he went in, shut the door on the two of them, and the first thing he did was he prayed. Then this is the bit. Then he got on the bed, lay on the bed, and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hands to hands, and he stretched himself out on him, and the boy's body grew warm. Elisha walked away, walked back and forth in the room, and then got back on the bed. What do you think he was doing when he was walking backwards and forwards in the room? I guess he was praying. Yeah, I guess he was praying. Holy Spirit, come on, we need to finish this job. And he got back on the bed, stretched out him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times, opened his eyes, and he was alive again. That is entrainment. The boy who was dead, his body, his organs, the blood, his heart, started entraining with Elisha. See, when you read that and you don't understand about the law of entrainment, you think, I believe it, but I can't understand it. So, you know, and then that last little bit is for you and me, all right? I don't recommend you try this at home, all right? First of all, ring 999 or get a defib, and then get on if you want, and then do what you want. But you can lay hands on them, okay? This was the way that Elisha did it. And then we find another example in Acts 20 when Paul was boring the pants off people with his talk, and a student who was sitting in the upstairs room fell out of the window. He was asleep. He fell asleep, and he crashed on the bottom, and everybody said, he's dead. Paul went down, did exactly the same, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him and said, don't be alarmed, he's alive. That's entrainment in action. The next thing that we need to look at is the law of vibration. You see, just as we entrain, and it's a specific law, there is a law of vibration. And the law of vibration that says that everything in creation, everything, is in a state of motion or vibration. Everything. The chair that you're sitting on is vibrating, the wall's vibrating, the floor's vibrating, that radiator's vibrating, Matthew's vibrating, all right? We're all vibrating. Every organ, every molecule, every subatomic particle in our bodies are vibrating. I wonder why on earth that is. Why did the Lord make us so that we vibrated? Everything in creation is in a state of vibration. expression. And it's quantum physics who actually has stated this, and so did Einstein 300 or 400 years ago, said everything is in a state of vibration. Everything has its own natural state of vibration. So within that bottle of water, that is vibrating at a set frequency. That is a rate. That's a number of cycles per second, all right? The chair vibrates at a very high frequency. All solid things vibrate at a very high frequency so that they look as though they're solid, but inside they're all fluid. It's these molecules and atoms belting around which are vibrating. So everything is a state of vibration. You and me are in a state of vibration. Every molecule in every cell in our body is vibrating at a different frequency. Now, this is going to be important when we look at it later on. I hope we get to later on. I'm looking at the clock here. Don't want to finish halfway through here. So everything is vibrating. Everything is vibrating. And these vibrations influence other kinds of matter or materials which are also vibrating. If you take a tuning fork, which is, let's say, the note A, and you hit a tuning fork, all right, and you bring another tuning fork next to it that's the same pitch, then that tuning fork will start vibrating as it's picking up the vibrations from here. If you take that same tuning fork and hit and put on it, not this one, but you put it on a piano with strings on, and you hold it next to the strings, the actual string will start vibrating as it picks up the vibration. So it will pick up the vibrations. So vibrations are vitally important. They will influence other matter and other things. Everything that you can see, feel, touch, or experience vibrates. Let me tell you, even your emotions vibrate. Even your thoughts vibrate. So when you're thinking something, you're vibrating. Your thoughts are vibrating. Okay? Now this is important when we come later on, because we've got to think, well, how are those vibrations translated? They all have their unique frequency. Let's have a look at this in action, because when solid things are trying to vibrate, but they can't, but the strength or the amplitude is strong enough and the pitch is just right, then things happen. The straw is in just to show you that things are happening. There's air movement taking place. Now, you see, this has to be a crystal glass. A crystal glass has a specific vibrational frequency which will resonate. In other words, it will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger when you have another influence upon it. All right? So that's what actually happens. It wouldn't work with composite glass at all. Let's look at the next slide. I think I've got these out of sequence, but it doesn't matter. We'll go back into the Tacoma Bridge.
Tacoma Bridge, Washington, opened only a few months ago, was built at a cost of over $6 million. But misfortune overtakes the great structure. These are some of the most amazing pictures ever recorded by a newsreel. The actual collapse of the world's third largest suspension bridge. Which in keeping with each wing. and plunge into the water below. Fortunately, the only casualties were a car stalled on the bridge and a dog.
See, the problem with that was that there was no escape route for the wind. The wind which came in at a certain vibrational frequency, there was no escape for it. And it was bombarding. So the vibration, all right, was actually creating a resonance into the vibrating atoms or molecules within the material. And they couldn't do anything, so they had to then start distorting. So there, that's one of the examples. But what about speech? What about sound? Does that fall in the same category as well? All right, when we speak to people, you know, when we're doing things, let's have a little look. Yeah, the hippies had it right, you know. It's all about vibrations, man. The law of attraction is a very simple law, and it's very similar to one that's found in the Bible. And the law of attraction, very simply, is that we attract to us what we give out. All right? Very similar to we reap what we sow. All right? So the law of attraction is we attract to us what we give out. So the vibrations that we give out is what we receive back. The manner in which we do things is what we receive again. So, why does all of this matter? Let's look at one more example in the Bible, all right? And then we'll see. Now, why is that not... Here we are.
In the Old Testament, God picked out a great place for his people to live. But, long story short, they ended up in Egypt for 400 years instead. God led his people back to this land he promised to give them. But there was a problem. Other people who didn't want them, they were gone. God picked a man named Joshua to be the leader of Israel. He had watched Moses lead God's people for years, so he learned to go when God said go, and stay when God said stay. Joshua got really good at obeying God in the little things and in the big things by obeying his leader Moses. God gave Joshua very specific directions on how to defeat the people who were living in God's promised land. It wasn't a normal kind of battle plan at all, but Joshua trusted God so much that he was ready to obey no matter what God asked. The first enemy city they came to was Jericho. Jericho had a big, tall wall that protected the city. God told Joshua to line up all of God's people, the Israelites, and march around the city once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. No fighting, no yelling, just marching. So, Joshua did just what God said. He led all of the people to line up and obey God too. Even though this plan sounded crazy, and even though the walls of the city were big and tall, Joshua obeyed what God told him to do. On the first day, they marched around the city's big, tall wall. No fighting, no yelling, just marching. On the second day, they marched around the city's big tall wall. No fighting, no yelling, just marching. On the third day, they marched around the city's big tall wall. No fighting, no yelling, just marching. You get the picture, right? Same thing on the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day. It seemed like nothing was happening. Jericho's big tall wall was still big and tall. On the seventh day, God told Joshua to march around the city seven times. This time, they blew their trumpets and yelled. And guess what? They saw that big tall wall fall. It was a miracle. Because of Joshua's great obedience, the people of Israel obeyed God's instructions too. And God destroyed the big tall wall of Jericho. Joshua continued to obey God in the little things and in the big things. He trusted God no matter what. He led God's people into the promised land. And God made Joshua into a mighty leader. You can read about him in his very own book of the Bible, Joshua.
On the basis of what we've seen already and talked already, who now believes that that happened?
Me.
God, come on! Dear me! Three hands went up. Of course. Of course. Of course. And the point I was going to make is, prior to that, who told them what to do? God told them what to do. It was his law. He made it. He made everybody. He made everything. He made all vibration. He made us as vibrating energy masses of people and everything else. So he told Joshua what to do. He gave him specific instructions. And those instructions, I can't fathom it out why, but the marching around once a day for 6 days, I don't know why. I don't understand it, but God does. And Joshua obeyed. It can only be something to do with the foundations of the wall, presumably. But then when you're coming around, you're right, there were thousands of people. Unlike the glass, which is a pure crystal glass, and it had to be a precise note that actually hit there, because of the complexity of the building of the wall, of the different structures, the different materials, they all have different kinds of vibrational frequency in it. Therefore, when they all shouted, they weren't all shouting in one tone. They were shouting in differences which would affect all of the molecules, so you get this vibration happening throughout, and the walls come down. So, you know, the walls of Jericho, you can see the logic and the science behind it. So, what's this all this about? Let's go back to the passage in Acts. This is all really leading up to looking at this passage again. But you really needed to try to understand a little bit about entrainment and vibration to understand a little bit now about this little section in Acts again. Now, you've got to understand, this is not a teaching. It's not a preaching. This is just my musings about what I've been looking at in regard to healing over the last year and a half. So I'm just sharing this with you, really, all right? So don't go around and say, Russell said, all right? Because this is just what I'm sharing with you. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. A lot of the Bibles now leave out that little bit about one accord, and yet it's so vitally important. They say they were all in the same place. The Bibles that we use in the church here, they say they're all in one place. They were all in one accord. They were always one accord. They'd been living together, 120 of them, so long that they had entrained together. They had entrained together, the heart rates were together, the feelings were together, they had the love of Jesus was there for everybody. They were staying together. Jesus said, you will wait there until the power will come from on high. So as they were waiting there, they were eating together, they were sleeping all at the same time. The circadian rhythms came in too. So to all intents and purposes, these 120 people were as one person. Every single cell in their bodies had entrained together. So there was a wholeness there. There was just a oneness. So for what was about to happen in a few seconds or a few minutes or an hour or so, whatever the time was, later, they were all the same. All right? So you could take two or three people and separate those and they'd all be the same. They're all one. And then it says, hang on. Be a help if I got on the right page, wouldn't it? And then it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Who can picture what a rushing mighty wind is? Can anybody picture what a rushing mighty wind is? Have a go, all right? This half here, I want you to try to actually project and make the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Can you do that? Come on, one, two, three. Is that all? That's not a mighty rushing wind. Come on. Oh, louder. It said a mighty rushing wind. Oh, that's no good. This side, you can do much better than that, can't you? Come on. A mighty rushing wind. What does it sound like? Oh, that's what a... You see, this sound came from heaven. But I've got to tell you, it didn't. The sound didn't come from heaven. There was no sound came from heaven. What came from heaven? Somebody or something created an imbalance up there which created molecules to band together which created this, what? Vibration. So this mighty... Now, how many people here have been into either gigs or they've been into where the worship band's been playing and the music was so loud, every cell in my body was resonating and I had to get out of there because I was shaking. In fact, there was once at Harrogate, it was so bad, the floor was vibrating, the walls were vibrating, and even when we went out of the room into the foyer, and you put your hands on the wall, the very wall was still vibrating. So really what these people experienced, there were 120 of these in this place, and all of a sudden, as if the Bible says, so this thing, this mighty vibration comes, it fills the room. Everything is vibrating. The wall's vibrating, the ceiling's vibrating, the air's vibrating, they're vibrating. Okay, and it spills out, and even the neighbors in their own houses come running out. What's going on? The vibration is there as well. So there's a huge vibrationary force. They heard it as a mighty rushing wind. You see, the vibration that came, it came into their ears. I've got to tell you very quickly about how the ear works. There's a canal, the ear canal. These vibrational waves come into the ear canal. At the end of the canal is the eardrum, and the eardrum starts vibrating. So as it starts vibrating like that, according to the vibrations that's hitting it, in the middle ear, there are three bones. One's called the hammer, all right, which is connected to the eardrum, and as that starts vibrating, the hammer starts vibrating. And as the hammer starts vibrating, the next bone is called the anvil, so that starts hitting the anvil, that starts vibrating. And then leading from there is another little bone called the tapes, which sits in a window of the cochlea. So there's a little tiny window, this bone sits in there, and it starts vibrating. Now the cochlea, unless I've dropped it on the floor somewhere. No, the cochlea looks like a curtain hook. Some say it looks like a snail, but it looks like that. That's the cochlea. So the cochlea is like a snail, twisting around. And in the cochlea, you've got a membrane which separates it into two halves, top and bottom chambers. There's a fluid in the bottom chamber. And the vibration from the tapis starts a wave in the fluid, which starts the membrane to start vibrating as well. Now here's the thing, on that membrane are up to 17 to 18,000 hairs on this tiny little place in there. Each of those corresponds to a frequency of sound that's coming in the ear. Isn't that amazing? It's only about 20 years ago that they started understanding this. So as the hairs start vibrating, so each frequency is coming in and it resonates with its own, just like I told you with the tuning fork, all right, on the piano string. That piano string is this hair which starts vibrating, starts moving like a wheat field in the breeze. and the end opens, and nerve impulses are generated into the auditory nerve, which comes up the brainstem and into the parietal lobe of the brain. And it's in the brain that you sense the sound. Not in your ear, in your brain. So that's where you hear the sound. And the great thing is, it happens quicker than that. It's instant. So when this thing hit, it sounded like a sound from coming from here, but it wasn't. It was vibrations. And then it says, I'll be as quick as I can, but really this is the crux of it, really, that also tongues, divided tongues as of fire, sat on the shoulders of each of the 120, or the disciples, didn't say how many, but they sat on the shoulders. And it says, and they became filled with the Holy Spirit, and they became speaking in tongues. What happened was, at that moment, they had been entrained with each other. They now became entrained with the Holy Spirit. So whatever the Holy Spirit was, whatever the Holy Spirit was generating, they became. So just as they became one with themselves, they now became one with the Holy Spirit. Taking on the vibrations of the Holy Spirit, taking on all of the entrainment that we talked about earlier, and they then started speaking in tongues. They were being equipped to do the work that they were supposed to do, which was to preach the word. And part of preaching the word is to use the gifts, and the gifts of healing and so on. What they used initially was the gift of tongues. Now, this is not the kind of tongues that we talk about where we actually talk to God, and all of us in the church started doing whatever we do. This was talking from God outwards. I've only known it in this church maybe 3 or 4 times, and the interpretation was being done by the people in their own language. So you can imagine those hairs in the cochlea, which were responding to a certain vibration frequency. Then you've got these people who are responding to the vibration frequency of a particular person as he's speaking out into them. Why does this matter? It matters because you and I have been asked to do the work of God. You see, these people were born in the Spirit before that. They were born again. All these people that came running out of their houses, it didn't happen to them because they didn't have Jesus in their lives. All right? The disciples did. The same can happen to us if we want to use the gifts and to preach the word. We need to be entrained with the Holy Spirit. So as we ask the Holy Spirit to come, fill me, baptize me in your Spirit, when he comes, it's not all the time, it's specific times, then what happens is that at that particular precise moment, we become entrained with his energy, with his vibrations, which we then will use. When we lay hands on people, when we, you and I, are born or baptized in the Spirit, we nearly always can feel something. Nearly always. We don't when we ask the Holy Spirit to come in us, but nearly always we experience them. Believe you me, those disciples in that upper room will have felt something. They will have felt something. They will have felt the power. They will have felt those vibrations. They will have felt something that we probably never, ever experienced ever ourselves, but they experienced that. We also experience it. I know I experience it. I know that Kathleen experienced it. I know that Linda experienced it. I know that other people in here experience it. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you in baptism, we feel his presence. We have his presence upon us as we entrain with him. And then when we come and we lay hands on somebody and we entrain with that person, they are becoming entrained with the Holy Spirit through us. And one of the most common areas to use is on the head, because brain waves give off a frequency as well. And there's specific frequencies for all of the brain waves in the head. So if you're then taking the vibrational energy from the Holy Spirit into those brain cells, and there's brain waves, then that will resonate throughout the body. Joe is a great example of that, if you don't mind me saying, Joe. About a month ago, 5 weeks ago, you came in here for the very, very first time. And this really blew my head away, and I had to really get to understand what was going on here. Because normally we place our hands on the part that needs to be healed. That's what we normally do. In Joe's case, we didn't. She was just there, and you were so brave that morning that you put your hand up and said, yes, I need healing. My back's really bad. But we didn't put our hands on your back. We placed our hands on your head. And all we said was, be healed in the name of Jesus. That's all. That's all, nothing more than that. And you told me afterwards that automatically, straight away, you felt intense heat, not where the hand was, but where your pain was. Is that right? And that lasted about, what, half an hour? And it was intense heat. Not where the hand was, but where your problem was. So the body took that energy, that took that force, took that the vibration, and stimulated the nerve tissues down to that area where it was needed. Isn't God good? I can't believe it. You take the ear alone. Just think about the ear. You know, and you think, how that ear works. Is that by accident? It cannot be. It's impossible to be. Just taking the simple thing of hearing how God made us. And just amazing. So, what I'm saying to you this morning is, if you want the power of the Holy Spirit, we talk about, come on, give me the power, Lord, give me the power, Lord. It ain't about that. It's getting into entrainment with him. Amen. You've got to get into entrainment with him. Then he will fill you. Then you can be used. Then you can lay your hands on people. And if there's anybody here this morning that really feels that there's something missing in their Christian life, there's something that they're short of, that there's something that they, you know, you're doing all the other things, but you're just missing that last little thing. You just want to be able to do that extra little bit more. You need to get entrained with the Holy Spirit. And if you wanted to do that this morning, then it's up to you. Just ask him. Just ask him. It can take a little time. Or people can lay hands on you as well. So, that's my musings and my ramblings and sharing with you. It's not theological. Matthew, I'm sorry, you should have had your ears closed. Matthew's studying theology. There's probably very little of this has anything to do with theology at all. But Father, I just thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, from start to finish this morning, Lord, that you have been here. And Father, it is just so wonderful to be in your presence and that we have all been entrained together in your presence this morning. Amen.